This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Over the weekend, you went up to the family cottage, Jim, near Elliott Lake. How was the drive up there?
The drive up was fine. It took us like over 9 hours to get there. We got two dogs in the back, so you got to stop every couple hours, take them for a walk. And it took a while. I'll give a shout out to my girlfriend, though. I drove 3 hours back, and she drove six.
What were you doing?
She just was like, because I drove most of the way up.
Uh-huh.
And then so...
Do you sleep while she's driving? Do you trust her enough?
I tried. I do, that since GPS is a thing. Because that would be, it's a long drive. There's many ways to take a wrong turn.
Okay, but. So she drives safely. You're just worried about her internal navigation system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mine too. I'm terrible with directions. But no, I couldn't sleep on the way home, so I would keep her in a chair. I was reading stuff off my phone to her.
Yeah.
Keep her going, but yeah, it was good.
Yeah, going on car trips, completely different now. Like, imagine when you were a kid, if you could watch movies in the back of your parents' car on the drive to Florida, or you know, like,
yeah,
how long are we gonna be there? Two more movies, enjoy. Okay, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad.
When I was a kid, I would just reread the same Highlights magazine for 4 hours going up to Manitoulin Island, all the puzzles filled out, and I'd just be leafing through it.
Goofus and Gallant, what are they up to?
What lessons could I learn?
We were a punch buggy car, I spy and punch buggy. That's all you had,
yeah. My dad would, this is what we would do to pass the time. My dad would assign us all I think I may have told this joke, but my dad would assign us all a transport truck brand.
Mm-hmm.
And every time like a Peterbilt or a Mack drove by, whoever had Peterbilt, whoever had Mack.
They got a point.
And my dad is the only one who could identify him, so he's probably cheating just to win. But anyway, that was our entertainment. Pretty.
There's a Freightliner. Yeah, 10 points for Dad. The youth partying in the streets of Hamilton. McMaster University, crowd gathered about 5,000 people strong, and they were quote-unquote giving her.
This is directly from the article.
They were giving her. Yeah, ambulances in and out, police presence. You had a car that was flipped over. We think it's a white Mazda. Got flipped over onto its roof. Luckily, nobody was hurt in that. Now, we weren't at this celebration, but we have been to parties like it in the past to report on the action. Fake homecoming is a thing in London at the University of Western Ontario as well. And Jim, this is from 2018, you talking to some students in a similar party atmosphere.
We can party whenever we want.
This is where the time is good because, like, no, cops can only patrol it. They can't control it. They only patrol.
So I woke up, and I threw up.
Okay, nine.
And then I started driving the beers in me right around 8 o'clock.
No, so you threw up first.
I threw up first just to kind of clear it all out from the night before so I could start fresh. Blank, you don't want to start with a clean canvas, and you want to build up from there.
And these are the kids that got into university. So I'm assuming it was a similar vibe at McMaster's party on the weekend. They got rid of homecoming because, you know, universities are doing this. They don't want these parties attached to an official university event. But the students are like, we don't care. We're going to do it anyways. You can't stop us.
Yeah.
Can only patrol. They can't control, as that young lady said.
It sounded like a prepared statement. Did the banning of the real homecoming make it worse, or was it always this crazy? Do you remember, Taz?
Yeah, I feel that banning it made it worse. Seriously, because now you got that rebellious factor to it, right? Robert, where are you calling in from?
Hamilton, brother.
Yeah. Were you around the McMaster parties?
Yeah, I was working on a buddy's truck, and I was returning it, and I had my son with me, and he got to experience the, how can I put it politely over the radio, how about the experience of college students dressing provocatively. It's pretty much made my 15-year-old son's day.
Oh, your kid's 15. Yeah. And he got to see some scantily clad people out there.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of women not wearing bras these days. So
that is the trend. It really does seem like that's the trend.
And then
my wife brought it up to me. I don't know if you heard me say this on the air a couple weeks ago. She brought up, she's like, do you notice that all the university students, the females aren't wearing bras, and I had noticed, but of course I said, no, honey, I didn't notice that.
Absolutely. But you know what? I've noticed that it's not just them. It's everywhere, to be honest. But,
yeah. Well, it's at Western in London. It's at Queen's in Kingston, McMaster. Like all these cities, all these universities having major issues, and nobody wants to take responsibility, and nobody says they can come up with a solution. Although I've got some suggestions.
And then, as regards to the car that got flipped, that's my wife's friend's car. She wasn't even home. She was out of town for school.
Come on. So you're telling me she came back on Sunday evening and found her car flipped over, unless she saw it on the news.
Well, actually, it was all over the internet. That's how she, as far as I know, that's just how she found out about it.
Oh, thanks, Robert. Imagine that.
That's my license plate.
Hold on a second. It is October the 4th, and a lot going on today, Jim.
Yeah.
Today is National Cinnamon Bun Day, National Taco Day, National Golf Lovers Day, and National Vodka Day.
Wow, what a day if you combine all four.
There's a round of golf with a couple vodkas, a cinnamon bun or two.
That's an amazing, it's a lovely afternoon.
Okay, let me ask you guys this. One of those things can't exist. Which one are you getting rid of? Vodka, golf, tacos, or cinnamon buns?
Honestly, I've never been a big vodka guy. If I had to eliminate one thing from my life, I could easily get rid of vodka and nothing would change.
Wow.
I mean, I like a screwdriver.
How many cinnamon buns do you eat?
I just like the smell of Cinnabon at the mall.
Yeah.
That's worth it.
It is nice. Or like on a special occasion, if you're at mom's house and she makes cinnamon buns in the oven. Does smell good, but I'm gonna stick with vodka, golf, and tacos. See you later, buns.
Yeah, I had a cinnamon bun the other day. It was awesome. Put it in the fridge, just ate it the next day. It was even better.
Where'd you get it from?
My girlfriend got it, I think, from the market or something like that.
Okay.
Somewhere.
Wow.
So I do occasionally have a cinnamon bun.
Tacos, man. I could have a taco a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, tacos are versatile. Like, you can put different stuff in the taco to make them, the flavors different, right? Like, you can do a fish taco, you can do beef, chicken. So you can mix that one up.
Totally.
Golf, you need an excuse to get away from your family for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. There you go.
I feel bad for people who don't like golf or have never even bothered to try. Because there's a lot of people who are like, they don't like golf. The image of it in their mind, they don't like it. It's like lame or for rich people or something. I don't know what people think, but boy, like when I have friends who never played golf and then started playing golf in their late 20s, they're like, what was I waiting for? Yeah, it cost me $200 to get these clubs.
Guess who just bought clubs? My mom.
Really?
Mama Taz. She's coming up on 70, and she wants to start golfing.
Doesn't she go to Florida, and she never golfs?
She has never been a golfer, but she bought a set of used clubs from her hairdresser. She was telling me all about it last week.
Awesome. Imagine she's better than you in like 2 weeks.
It wouldn't be difficult. I want to see you peacock, Here we go with sports. Devin Peacock joins us, and we were hoping to have a much more exciting segment for you here, folks, but close but no cigar for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, the Toronto Blue Jays did their part on Sunday. The unfortunate part was they needed some help, and for part of the Red Sox-Nationals game, it looked like they were going to get it from the Nationals. The problem is the Red Sox have had a lot of come-from-behind wins this year, and they did that. So, basically, if the Red Sox and Yankees won yesterday, no matter what the Blue Jays and Mariners did, they were in, and that's what happened. It was a great end to the season for the Blue Jays in one sense, though, because they didn't make the playoffs. But they finished strong. They built a lot of excitement. I think Blue Jays fans have a lot to look forward to next year.
Such a bummer, though, because they beat the Orioles like 12-4, 12-6 or something?
Yeah, they demolished them. Springer had a grand slam. Springer had two homers. Vladdy hit his 48th. He's now got the record for the most home runs by someone 22 years or older. It was a great game. Like, it was a great final series. They had 30,000 people in the stands. It was great. There was a lot. I mean, it ended poorly, but there's a lot, I think, to be positive about this morning for the Blue Jays.
How much of this team is going to be back next year? How high should we get our hopes for the upcoming season?
I would be surprised if Marcus Semien is back, just based on some comments he has made, not about not wanting to come back to Toronto. It's just he views himself as a shortstop, not a second baseman. Bo Bichette is obviously the Blue Jays' shortstop. So at the end, that'll come down to money. And the Blue Jays have to look at, you know, down a couple of years into the future with all the guys they have to lock up. This team could get very expensive very fast. So I would be surprised if Marcus Semien is back next year. But I think Robbie Ray is a good bet to come back. And if they have Ray, Ryu, Manoa, and Berrios as the top four guys in their rotation, they could go quite far next season. Plus, the big addition they have next year, which they already got this year, is they're back in Toronto. Their record in Toronto this year was fantastic. Their record in Buffalo and Dunedin was, you know, 50-50. So being back in Toronto was a huge benefit to the Blue Jays. Had they played the entire year in Toronto, I think we're having a different conversation about them being in the playoffs.
Jim, you got a little elaborate with your marriage proposal to your fiance Sarah.
Yeah, coordinated a little fireworks show.
Uh-huh.
Crazy, but yeah.
Thank God nothing went wrong. You don't want to go too far, put yourself in harm's way, right, when you're proposing. This story is no good, man. The headline, plane that crashed in Montreal was carrying marriage proposal banner. So, you know, when you see the airplanes in the sky, they've got the banner. Sometimes it's an advertisement like 2-for-1 subs or whatever it is. And occasionally you'll see one that says, will you marry me? Plane went down. Passenger in the plane died. And the pilot is in hospital recovering. The authorities looking forward to being able to get some answers from the pilot when they can. But, man, what an omen for the couple. Assuming that the guy proposing wasn't the passenger in the plane.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Because you'd be on the ground with your potential fiancé to hand the ring over, right?
And then you see, hey, look at the banner, and then you drop to the knee.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you'd expect. Otherwise, it would be a situation like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Hillary Banks, will you marry me?
Is he bungee jumping?
Yeah, proposing while bungee jumping.
So dark.
Boy, that would be something you might want to think about, though.
Yeah.
You're proposing the plane crashes. Do you still go through with it?
That is, it's either a bad omen or like so bad it's good, like raining on your wedding day. You know, like, I don't know. I would go through with it. If you spent that much money.
Different than rain on the wedding day, I'd say.
If you spent that much money and somebody is hurt, somebody passed away, you better go through with it. You better get married.
Someone sacrificed their life for your proposal. There's no backing out now.
No, man.
No divorces. You are stuck together for the rest of your life to honor the person who perished.
Yeah, till death do you part now for sure, too.
Jim, what do you know about this show on Netflix, Squid Game?
I know it's South Korean, and I know it's kind of like a Black Mirror episode where they play, like, children's games to live or die or something like that.
I think you haven't watched it yet.
No, huh? I haven't, but everybody's talking about it.
I know. I keep seeing stuff pop up online about Squid Game, and I ignored it for the first couple days thinking it would go away. I thought maybe it was like a TikTok challenge, people putting raw squids on their heads or something.
Sure.
But you know, apparently it's a pretty good show.
Netflix is saying it may be their most successful show of all time.
It's subtitles or is it dubbed over? I wonder.
Subtitles, I think.
Okay, so you need to do some reading.
I don't mind that.
I don't mind it, but you're committed to actually watching the show.
You can't look at your phone.
You can't look at your phone and you can't be tired.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you got to find a time where you can sit down and actually stare at the screen. And is it a one season? Is it a movie or a TV show?
It's one season. It's a TV show. I don't know how many episodes, but I don't know. My favorite thing about this story is that I guess they were trying to pitch Squid Game for like 10 years
mm-hmm.
to a bunch of different networks, and all the networks were like, this is too crazy. We don't get it. It's dumb. We're not interested. Netflix took a chance on it, and it's super popular. So finally, even if it is crazy, at least it's original, right?
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit from what I've seen of what was the one that came out, and it was they remade it into the Hunger Games, basically. Hunger Games ripped off the idea.
Oh, it was all the Japanese kids running
around.
Yeah,
Battle Royale.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the name of it.
That was good, too.
That was a crazy movie where they all get dropped off, and whoever survives on the island is the one who gets to live. Like, I have that kind of vibe here with the Squid Game, even though I haven't really seen much of it. But
yeah.
Okay, well, we got to watch Squid Game. Put it on the homework list.
Oh, we just got a text here. It's dubbed, not subtitles.
Oh, is it dubbed?
Yeah. I think you probably have the option for either, but
okay, because I find that subtitles are better sometimes because the dubbing can be distracting.
Yeah, the acting can be brutal.
Well, you're watching more for the dialogue not lining up with their mouths than you are for anything else, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And they have to change the words to make them fit in their mouths instead of just writing what they're actually saying.
Even if it's not the best translation, there's like a compromise they have to make.
Yeah, they do close enough translation when they do the dub over. Mm-hmm. Squid Game, so hot right now. Our big gardening contest going right now here with Taz and Jim.
It's the Stonely Crop Championships.
Yeah. The Stonely Crop Trophy is sitting here just waiting for you to claim it. All you got to do is take a picture of your plant, or plants, plural. You're only supposed to have four, reminder. Some people not abiding by their rules, according to the entries we've been receiving.
Some people think that we're undercover CSIS agents. One guy was like, yeah, okay, CSIS, I'll send you my weed photos. Yeah, okay. We do are not work for intelligence agencies.
We are not giving out your full location or name or anything like that. We just want to see, and people want to share. Without even soliciting, we've been getting pictures of people's marijuana plants for over a month now.
Mm-hmm.
And with harvest around the corner, like, these things are getting huge.
Yeah, so we might as well reward our agriculturally inclined listeners. We have a huge trophy for them. Kind of looks like the Stanley Cup, if you squint, you know, but it's basically like a weed sprayer with a bowl on top of it.
It also kind of looks like a massive bong. So it's just the hybrid, the love child of the Stanley Cup and a bong is what it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
You will get your day with the trophy, uh-huh, as you would if you won the hockey tournament there. That coincidentally has a similar name. But you also will get immortalized on a plaque for you to display proudly at home.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be the inaugural winner. You know, part of history, Stonely Crop Championship. Who are some of the notables that you've seen come in over the weekend?
Well, there's just, I think the most notable thing is just how many different towns are being represented from across Ontario. I mean, all these plants are huge, and I'm impressed by the vast majority of them. But we got entrants from Dunville. Shout out to Jason. Blaine from Harrison. Chris from Cambridge. Greg from Hamilton. Christina from Elgin County. Jason from Newbury. John from Wingham. Josie from Bayfield. I mean, this is everywhere is sending us in these photos. And my favorite...
I love that we just said we're not going to give away your name or location.
Oh, it's a pretty broad spec. I mean,
the other thing is it's legal,
yeah,
guys.
Of course, what,
like,
of course.
How are we narcs if we're dealing with a completely legal activity?
Well, it's funny that you say when you talk about legality here, because one of the most standout entrants we got from the weekend was from a guy named Andrew, and you know, he's actually teaching us a little bit about the process here. He sent us a voice memo, Taz, to our Facebook page. So here's the first clip he sent us.
The last one has discoloration on the leaves because I'm not fertilizing it anymore, and the plant is finishing. So when it's finishing and you stop fertilizing it, it sucks all the out of the leaves. It doesn't taste like garbage. And that one's Gelato. And on the right side is Trainwreck. And in the middle, squished, is Cinderella. You know, in between her two ugly sisters, right?
So this guy's got names for all of them, obviously.
Gelato, Trainwreck, and Cinderella.
Yeah, and Cinderella is the only aesthetically pleasing plant in the bunch, right? So, and then he goes on, like, where did this guy learn? How long has this guy been growing weed for? Well,
I've been doing it since 1999 and done over a year and a half in jail for it, which is actually the only reason why I even know who you guys are. They have radios in the MDC, eh? It's one of the only provincial jails that do. Why was I even talking about that? Hold on, it's going to come to me. This is a pretty good weed. Nope, didn't come to me.
So, I trust him. I do. Hold on. He's been in prison. I trust him when it comes to growing marijuana.
Yeah. I wouldn't trust him boring my car.
It sounds like he sure knows his stuff.
I need to get some protection soon.
For what?
Because my wife is looking great.
What? My wife is looking amazing. Yeah, after our second child was born, she got herself back into shape, and I was planning about 19 months ago to have a vasectomy, and then the pandemic rolled in.
Yeah.
And I just, the appointment got canceled, the consultation, and I never rescheduled. So we're playing with fire over in the Taz household.
Oh, okay.
No, I meant me and my wife, but okay. Also you and Sarah, possibly. I don't need to know more about that situation.
Okay.
But I gotta reschedule that thing.
You're 100% gonna do it or what?
I have to.
You don't have to.
Well, I am not having another kid.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse. So I gotta do something.
Do you think you accidentally let the thing expire, or are you nervous and just let it, you know, kind of purposely forgot about it?
It truly, because of the pandemic, my consultation was canceled, but I definitely haven't rescheduled for a reason. I am kind of nervous. I think every guy is nervous when it comes to this time, this crossroads in their life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 95% of the buddies that I've talked to who have had the procedure done, they all say it's not a big deal.
Like, nobody's regretted it?
In and out. Well, but then you hear the one horror story, you know, and it makes you think twice. Like, I had one guy who got some infection or something. Anyways, he said, swollen to the size of a grapefruit was his experience.
Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Kind of cool, though.
Yeah. You might know him. He's Nicki Minaj's cousin.
Oh, no.
No, different guy. Yeah, I think there is a correlation between having a guy do that and then possibly getting some swelling down there. So I think that is a medical possibility. You just don't want to be the freak case, right?
Yeah. But I mean, if it makes for a hilarious picture, like imagine how many likes we would get on Facebook if we posted your grapefruit on there, Taz. Don't be selfish.
All right. I'll do it for the content. I'm writing it down right now. Call vasectomy doctor.
It'll be good.
Yeah, it'll be a ton of fun.
Well, I mean, after it will be. It's like getting braces.
You're right.
You know?
It sucks at the time, but once you got a great smile when those things come off, it's all worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. That's what Justin Trudeau was saying all weekend when he opened social media. Ouch.
Yeah, not good.
Clearly made a blunder. Prime Minister going on vacation to Tofino in British Columbia with his family on National Truth and Reconciliation Day, a holiday that he was behind declaring. It was supposed to be a day of reflection, education, when it comes to indigenous issues across the country. But this is the issue. Like, who's getting the day off and why? And what do you think they're going to do with a day off?
Mm-hmm.
And we had Taz and Jim listeners messaging us about this. Last week we got this. It says, good morning, Taz and Jim. I've got a bit of a beef about the Truth and Reconciliation holiday. My wife is Native, so are my four wonderful kids. We were discussing last night about how this is unfair that government workers, the government who allowed to do this, was allowed to do this. They're benefiting from this now. How fair is it they get a day off, and government workers who had to work, they get holiday pay? This country has become so confusing for a Canadian to live in.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. Like, Trudeau has the day off. He doesn't attend any of the events that he was invited to. He decides to go hang out at the beach with his fam.
Yeah. And that, you know, that could have been potentially fine if his itinerary didn't say he was going to be in Ottawa. Like, the problem is you're lying about it.
Well, yeah. clearly, if he didn't realize there was something wrong, obviously whoever answered the phone when the media called and said, hey, is Justin at the beach right now? Obviously they knew it was a bad look because they decided to try and deceive the public.
How ignorant do you have to be as a prime minister of this country to not realize the optics of this were so terrible? Not even Trudeau himself realized it. None of his handlers. These type of things, aside from how insulting it is to the Indigenous community, it just blows my mind how someone can make this huge of a mistake on the first National Day of Reconciliation. The first, most symbolic, but arguably the most important one there is.
His schedule should have been jam-packed. He should have been at every single event that he could be at through the day.
Then take the Friday off.
Take the Friday. Make it a long weekend. You know? That day, he could have been on his way to British Columbia. He could have ended up in Tofino on late Thursday night or Friday morning. But
stop
on the way
Kamloops.
There, stop at five different places and visit some Indigenous communities. It's a no-brainer.
And he's like the main person who can actually make change for communities that are hurting. So the fact that, I mean, he did do something Wednesday, I guess. He did go to an event, but like, come on, man. If you're going to call the holiday, do your best to make it the best version of that holiday possible.
The Indigenous people are right to be questioning the Prime Minister's decision-making. I'm questioning it. It makes you nervous about, if he's dumb enough to do this, what's next?
Yeah. Are you surprised, though, really? I mean, it's a repeating pattern of him being narcissistic, you know, like him saying he cares about something and then doing the exact opposite.
Yeah.
So when I saw the story, I was like, I wasn't surprised at all.
Yeah, of course. It's a throwback to all the politicians and the heads of hospitals who were saying, nobody's allowed to leave the house. We got to flatten the curve.
Can't see your family this Christmas.
But guess what? We're going on vacation with our families.
Exactly.
Hypocritical.
Yeah.
Trudeau has offered a private apology to the chief of a British Columbia First Nation after he passed up the opportunity to attend an event and honor the Truth and Reconciliation Day last week. But no public apology yet. Maybe he's cruising into work this morning thinking that it would have gone away after a couple days, but
at this point he's getting really used to apologies. That's one strength he has built. He's done more apologies than any other prime minister, I think, in history.
Yeah, it's a fine art, isn't it?
Yeah, well, not the way he does it.
Thank you very much for checking out the Taz and Jim podcast. If you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, live on the radio, you can do that on FM 96 in London or Y108 in Hamilton, weekday mornings from 5:30 until 9:30. Or subscribe, keep downloading the podcasts, and we'll keep talking.